Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences to prove to you that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and today's story starts with this runner being the kid who hated running, got dragged across country by her older sister, and somehow fell in love with the team culture enough to stick with it. Then college hit and running virtually disappeared, but by the end of 2023, Kelly found herself in a season where she needed something steady, something hard, and something that would prove to her that she could trust herself again. That's when she signed up for a half marathon with her dad and basically caught the bug immediately. From there, running really took off for her. She PR'd her second half and decided she wanted to run a marathon before turning 26. We talk about how the long runs felt intimidating, the mantras that got her through, how journaling helped her stay grounded, and what it was like to run Philly with huge crowd energy while battling nausea from early on. And then we get into that very real mile 18 wall that we know so well, the voice memos her boyfriend and sister made for her, and the finish line that felt out of body in the best way, with her family crying and cheering for her on the sidelines. Kelly's story is full circle in the way I love most, because she's not just talking about becoming a marathoner. She's talking about carrying every past version of herself across that finish line, including the one who didn't think she could even do it in the first place. Without further ado, let's get into the episode. Please welcome Kelly. Kelly, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm super excited to talk to you, especially I was just telling you this, but I'm selfishly very excited for Philly Marathon runners because this is one I've had on my bucket list for a really long time. So really excited to just walk through your journey and hear about Philly. But first, just thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, of course. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Amazing. All right, cool. Well, we like to start from the beginning. So where did movement start for you? Where did running start for you? How did we start out on this journey?
Yeah, so I have always been an athletic kid. I started out playing softball, basketball. I danced a little bit when I was like younger. And my sister was a swimmer, and then she's 2 years older than me. And her freshman year, she was introduced to a sport called cross country, which is long distance running. Yeah. And she was like begging me to do it. She was a rising junior. I was a rising freshman. She like fell in love with the team, loved the people there. And I was like, no, I was like, I'm not a runner, hated running. Like in every sport that I did, I was like the slowest. Like in basketball, I like hated the suicides. Like I hated running back and forth. I just like was not known to be a runner at all. So I was like, no, not happening. Forced me to go to the first, what they call captain's practice. And I was the slowest one there. Like I was like actually brutal. Like I was like bad. And then I was like, Taylor, I'm never doing that again. Long story short, she forced me to go to a real practice, like one that like was in season. And I like, you know, bonded with the people and, you know, it kind of clicked from there. Like, I don't know what happened. Some like voodoo prayer. I don't know. But I ran all throughout high school, in cross country, and then college, I didn't run at all. I kind of took a hiatus. Like I was just like partying it up, drinking it up. Don't know what happened. Yeah. Graduated college. And then my dad was running a half marathon in Seaside Heights. I was on a journey of like bettering myself and like my mental health and taking risks on myself. And so I was like, what if I just sign up for a half marathon? Like, yeah. What if I join you, Dad, kind of thing. And yeah. He was like, well, I mean, I'm not going to pressure you, but like, you know where to sign up. Like, you know, the link, whatever. And I was like, yeah, what? Like, frick it. Let's do it. So I signed up for the first half and then it kind of, I got the bug, I guess, like they always say.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's great. So it sounds like you've had some family members that have maybe been planting little seeds in your ear throughout the years. What was it? You said that you didn't know like what clicked for you in cross country, but I guess like what was it in high school that you liked enough about running that kept you like coming back to practices and things like the community, the actual running? Like what do you think it was?
It definitely wasn't the running. Definitely wasn't the running. My sister and I would take around our little GoPro camera around practices, meets, pasta parties. And we would film our teammates and our coaches and stuff like that. So I think that's what like distracted me from the running. Of course, you know, twice a week I would have to run a 5K or whatever. But it was just like the people and the environment that kind of just, and we also all kind of hated the running. Like we all kind of.
Sure, you bonded over that. Yeah.
Right. We accepted the fact that we had to go to practice. We had to do this workout or whatever it was.
That's cool. I like that. Yeah. And then I had the same experience. I had like, I was in team sports. So you were ahead of me in cross country, like actually doing the running, but I hated it. And then when I got to college, I was like, running is the last thing that I want to do in college. So same thing. What after college brought you back to it? You said that your dad was running a half. Was that like the first time that you had thought about running again? Or I guess what like brought you back to the sport?
It was such a hiatus, like 4 years of literally not running. And I think throughout college, I started to value the wrong things. Yeah, like I studied abroad, was kind of on this like high of life, like thought I was too big for like my own good, I guess. I don't know. And then I would say 2023, end of 2023, I kind of burnt out. Like first time I actually feel like, I don't want to use this word lightly, but truly went through a season of like depression, and then had to be really intentional about who I was surrounding myself around and taking risks on myself, because at that point I didn't really have anything. Yeah, I just was looking for anywhere to, you know, make myself and better myself in some
ways. Yeah, we either kind of fall into running by accident or running finds us in some ways. It's like, it's usually when you're at that point where you just need like something that you can stick to and try for and like prove to yourself that you can do something hard. So it sounds like maybe you were in that season of life. When you decided to sign up for the half marathon, how did that feel? Was it scary? Was it like exciting? What did it feel like?
Oh my gosh, it was so scary. It was so scary because I didn't know I could do a half marathon at the time, you know, but I took a risk on myself and I just trusted what I thought I had in me. And apparently I had it in me.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. So then you're planning for this half marathon. Was this your dad's first half marathon as well, or he had ran?
No, it was just a couple.
Okay, it was his third. Cool. So I'm sure he had maybe some concept of a plan, but what were you thinking in terms of like how to tackle the thing?
So I like when, as I was training, I would kind of also in cross country, I would never run that far. Like even after 3 miles, once I like surpassed that, I was like, okay, I'm in like new territory here. I don't know. Like I was just like kind of rolling with the punches. He actually stayed with me for a good portion of the race. And it was two loops of 6.5 or whatever it was. Just tackling it, I guess, like one and one, kind of as two separate races, and just treating it as 2 6.5 mile runs rather than 13.
Yeah, that's a good way to go about it. And then after you guys finished the race, how did you feel? Like, were you like, let's do this again? I'm going to perfect the half. Were you even thinking full at that point? Like, what were the next steps?
Dude, I put all I could into that half, like to the point where, I don't know, this is TMI, like puking. I was puking.
Yeah.
Literally, I was like, that was awful. But then I think like 2 days later, I was like, wait, I kind of want to run another one. Like, I feel like I can do that. You know? I knew I put everything I could, but I was like, what if I train even more and like put more effort and more intentionality, and then I could run it faster, you know?
So. Yeah. So the goal is, so you definitely got the bug for sure after that first one. And then, yeah, so you were thinking about time and speed and like the things you can do to help you in that area. So I guess, yeah, walk us through like next steps between, I know you, before we were talking, you ran 2 half marathons. So, in between first half marathon and second half marathon, what were some of those things that you felt like helped, made positive changes? What was not working? I guess like walk us along that journey a little bit.
Yeah. So what's funny about the training in between, so it was like October of 2024 and then April of 2025, I kind of just continued running, almost like restarted a little bit, but because I was training for the half, it's kind of already a step ahead. And then my like foot started really bothering me, I would say like a month before, and I like got plantar fasciitis or whatever, never really heard about what that was beforehand. So I had to like stop training low key. And then I was like, should I run the race? Should I not run the race? And then I ran the race and I actually like PR'd by like 14 minutes.
So
I was
let's go.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's cool. So yeah. Was there anything that you feel like changed during training that led to that? Like anything changed in terms of like the types of runs that you were doing or fueling differently or like, yeah, anything in training there?
I think I was just getting faster, honestly.
Just like consistency. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. Sweet. And then, yeah, so ran our second half marathon. And now at this point, like you've proved that you can do something hard and you've proved that you could do something hard faster than you did the first time. So I'm sure you were starting to build a little bit of confidence with running and feeling a little bit like more settled in it. So how did we land on the marathon? How did that first make its way into your mind?
Yeah. So I would say maybe like a little bit before the second half marathon, I told my dad I wanted to run 26 before I'm 26.
Oh, okay, cool. So you've planted this seed already. Yeah,
I did. I was 22 at the time. And then I turned 23 And then I would say like a month after or a week after, forget what the timeline was. I was like, I've ran two halves. I was like, this is the trajectory. I'm in the best shape of my life. Like, why can't I just run three marathons by the time I'm 26? Why do I only have to run one?
Yeah, let's go. So move the goalpost. Yeah. Cool. So you were thinking about doing it then. I guess, yeah, what were the next steps from there? I'm going to run it. And then what was like step two?
Like not thinking about it, like not hesitating. It was kind of the same thing I did when I signed up for the first half. I was like, I don't know if I can run 26, but I'm going to trust myself. And just all I can do is go on a run today or go out on a run tomorrow and see what happens. And I think that I realized that the scariest parts are not the 26 or not the 13. It's the 10 and then the 11 and then the 13 and then the 15. And then it's the long run that's scary. And then the 26 is just like any other long run, you know?
Yeah.
Just accepting the fact that I don't know and that I just have to trust myself and lean into even my faith. I'm a very spiritual person. So just leaning into that and, going from there.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't run 26.2 the day after the day you sign up. It's like, it's this gradual buildup. So you're 100% right in that. I guess like you were talking, if you're comfortable talking about this a little bit more, like you mentioned that you were in a, like a darker spot when you first found yourself to running. So I guess like training for your first and your second half, and then now training for your first marathon, how was that helping out with like the mental health side of things for you?
I cannot even express how much it has like completely 180'd my life. I feel like it is like I'm doing hard things. So then when hard things come up in other aspects of my life, I'm like, dude, I'm so small and the world is so big. So I'm not diminishing what I'm going through now, but just accepting it and understanding what I'm going through is like not the grand scheme, you know?
Yeah,
I think it allowed me to have routine, have consistency, like we mentioned, have even make healthier choices with my food and my drinking and my going out and social. Like, I don't want to go to bed at 2 a.m. every day now, or, you know, on weekends or whatever it is. It's like,
yeah,
it's like a long run in the morning. Like,
right.
So, yeah, it's just, it's complemented a lot of aspects of my life, and I could not be more grateful, honestly, for it.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's like, I've said it a million times, people are probably getting annoyed with me saying it, but it's like, my life existed before I ran my first marathon, and then after I ran my first marathon. Like, it's very two distinct points in my life, it sounds like, for you too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like, it proves to you that you can do something hard, and then everything else doesn't seem so hard when you do something like that. It's like, if I can tackle that, I can tackle, like, calling my dentist to making a dentist appointment. You know what I mean? So yeah. 100% get what you're saying. So yeah, what sort of resources were you looking into for training plans? Like any apps, any paper plans for when you were starting to think about like how you're going to train for the marathon?
So ironically, around this time too, my boyfriend was training for, when I was training for my first half marathon, he was training for his first full marathon.
Nice. Yeah.
Like we met for the first time and I was like, wait, this is so funny that this is happening all at the same time. And he introduced me to Strava. So like
nice.
That's what I use. I don't use any like training plans or anything like that. We kind of just like looked up train for a marathon in 16 weeks or whatever. And yeah. Then we kind of like followed that. Not to the T, but we followed it ish. I would say a big thing for me too was like I listened to my body a lot. Like if I was supposed to go out on a 16-mile run and I only wind up doing 14 because my body was telling me something different, just trusting that. Trying to find like holistic ways to do it, I guess.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think that's important, especially for your first marathon, because it's really hard to determine like what's normal and what's not, because it's, you're going through it for the first time. So I think that's great that you were able to kind of like tap into your own body and listen to it in that way. Where do you feel like the harder runs for you? Like an example, usually when people run over 13 for the first time, like that first 14-mile run is pretty intimidating. What was the first like really intimidating one for you?
I'm going to say like 15, 16 vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what was scarier about it was that when I ran, say, 15, I was like, oh, wait, like, I still have a while to go. It wasn't necessarily the 15 that scared me. It was like after the 15, I was like, oh, wait, this isn't even like, I still have to do like 11 more after this.
Mm.
But then I would like reel myself back in and be like, oh, but like I did just do 15. So like 10 is like not, or 11 is like not that. Like I could do it. Like it's not.
Yeah.
I would always try and reel myself back in and be like, you got it. You're good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's scary, but it's like, you also just did something really hard. So you can do something even harder. And like we said, it's like, you're not going to run 26 the next day. It's going to be 15 and then 16 and then 17 and then you'll get there. But yeah, that makes sense. Those were the first couple intimidating ones. I guess when you're like reeling yourself in like that, is there anything like you say to yourself, or is it really just like, if I can do this, I can do that.
Yeah. First of all, I would like journal a lot. Not necessarily like hand journal, but I would like type.
Mm.
So that would help me to like reel back in and like see it on paper and ground myself. When I'm on like a specific, when I'm actually on the run, I'll just keep telling myself like one step at a time, like step, 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 step.
Or
as I'm listening to music, I'll like run to the beat to like,
I love that.
Get lost in the sauce. I always say get lost in the sauce, get lost in the sauce. Cause like, I don't want to think about actually running.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, I guess as you're moving, if you're thinking about like the training block as a whole, what do you feel like was like a highlight for you through training? Where were the runs where you felt like, okay, like I can do this. I got this.
Ironically, I would say like the long runs of like even numbers. For some weird reason, my even number long runs were always great. Don't know why. And then my odd number long runs were awful. And it would be like every other week. Odd number long runs, I'd always get super duper nauseous. When I first ran 10 miles, I know that's like not that long. And I would say it was when I was training for the halves. When I ran 10 miles, I was like, yo, I just did 10 miles.
What? Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was like, holy crap, like 3 months ago, I couldn't even run a mile without actually dying. And like now, I just did 10 in like sub 2 hours, which is like not what I would normally, like the pace I would not normally do at all. And I was like, yo, I did that shit.
So. Yeah. I love that. And then you get to marathon training. You're like, I only have 10 miles to run. It's like this crazy, like you, every time the goalpost is just moving further and further. It's so cool. Yeah, that's awesome. What were you learning about? Or if you were looking into this for your first marathon, like what were some of the things you were learning about fuel and like how to eat before, just anything around running that you felt like was helping?
So I knew that like carbs were like a big thing, like the day before, like a couple days before long runs. Because in high school we would have pasta parties the day before.
Mm, that's fun. I like that.
Yeah. So I knew carbs were a big thing. I would always try like I would be very experimental with like the gels and the tablets, like, the wafers. I love like nerd clusters. Yeah. The gels don't do me too good. Cause my mouth gets really like dehydrated and like, I can't like do it.
Sweet. So yeah. So you were looking into fuel, which is like, we would love to say that everybody gets to look into or learns about fuel for their first marathon, but not everybody gets to look into it or understands it. So it sounds like that was something you were starting to sort of dive into, which is great. Yeah. So we're working our way through training, I guess. What was your peak run? Did you peak out at like mile 20 or like a 20 mile run, 22 mile run?
Yeah, I peaked at 20.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I guess how was that run? That's usually the run that's right before taper that's either gives you a whole lot of confidence because you're like, okay, I did 20 miles, let's go. I mean, I can run this marathon. Or you run it and it's a little spicy and you're like, okay, well, that's the last chance that I have to practice before the marathon. So I guess, yeah, what camp did you fall into for that longest run?
I was like, let's go. It was an even number. And I was like, wait. And that's when I realized, I was like, wait, why are all of like the even numbers good runs? I was like, okay. Yeah. Thank God I'm 26 is an even number.
Yeah, right, right.
But yeah, I was like, let's go. Also, like in my town, it was like 4 loops of 5. So it was easy to break up in my head. So I was like, yes. I was like, I'm ready for this. Like I just did 20 miles. Like 6 is like, I'll just like feed off of like adrenaline and see my family and whatever. Yeah. I was like, I can do this.
Cool. I love that. And then how did you land on Philly? I probably should have asked that a little bit sooner, but yeah, why Philly? Why was that one the one that you chose for your first marathon?
Yeah. So a couple reasons. One being that my boyfriend had ran it the year before. So I went.
Nice.
And I like saw him and it seemed like a good vibes. I also heard that it wasn't very hilly. So I was like, that's a good beginner course. Cool. Awesome. And one day, I want to run New York and I knew I couldn't get into New York, but
yeah.
I'm saying that it was like the next closest one to Jersey. So
cool.
Yeah.
Love that. Sweet. And then, yeah, I didn't realize you spectated your boyfriend's marathon the year before. What were some of the things that you noticed about like Philly and the course or like the energy that made you excited about running your first marathon there?
Well, it was funny because I was able to see him like four times. So something I noticed about the course was like how easily,
like, spectator friendly.
Yeah. I was literally able to see him four times by like not walking that. I mean, I did walk a lot that day, but it was not that bad. And I did notice, of course, like how dead he was after it.
Yeah. You're like, that seems fun. Let me try that.
But yeah, that was like the only impression I had. And of course the energy, everyone's has like Cowboys suck or like go Eagles signs. Like, I thought that was really funny. And even while I was running it, they were like high five if you hate Dallas Cowboys or whatever. Even on the start line, they were like, do we have any brave Dallas Cowboys fans?
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. Yeah, I've heard amazing things about Philly, and like you said, like it's a good one for people who don't get into New York to go around, because it's got really awesome crowd support, and it's a bigger race without being a world major, where you have all the logistics of getting into the marathon and then all the expenses of running a world major and all that good stuff. So yeah, I've heard really awesome things about it. Cool. So I guess thinking about taper now, because you ran your 20-mile run, and then I assume you went into some sort of 2 or 3 week taper from there. What was that like for you? Were you antsy during taper? Did you like it? Was it a nice break? What did it feel like?
It was a nice break, but I was antsy. Mm-hmm. I just like want to run. I'm ready. So it was definitely like an antsy, you know, period of time. And then Of course I felt like I wasn't doing enough. I'm like, am I running enough?
Yeah, it feels very weird. It's like, I should be doing something, but I'm not doing something, but I feel like I should be. Yeah, it's this like weird back and forth through taper. But getting closer to the start line day, to the day that we ran the marathon, antsy, excited, like the day before leading up?
Yeah, I mean, it was so fun going down to like the expo. We went down the day before.
Nice.
There's the expo, like walked around, saw everyone. And then I went with my parents, of course, like, my dad like thinks he's also running a marathon, so like he's also and he's like, yo, like it's gonna be stressful, like I'm gonna see you at 16 and I'm gonna know that you have 10 left, and like I'm like, dad, why are you antsy? Like, it's okay.
Yeah, you're gonna be okay.
Yeah, it was fun. And then of course we went to dinner, had a bunch of pasta, and you know, yeah, it was good vibes. Cool. Good vibes.
Love it. Okay, well then race morning. So we're getting to the start line. I imagine that Philly does waves of like start groups and everything. So yeah, walk us through what race morning was like.
So I genuinely got like the worst sleep of my life. Like, yep. Genuinely. Also because I was like in a hotel room. Like, hotels are like never fully comfy. Worst sleep of my life. Woke up at like 5:20. Went to the start line because we were scared that there was going to be like road blockages and whatnot. Ironically, too, there was a friend who I'd run cross country with, who's also running Philly. So I was like trying to meet up with her at the start line, but like it didn't really work. So we were like, it's fine. Like, have a good race, whatever. Said goodbye to my boyfriend because we were like not running in the same corral. And I was in like the last corral. So my start group was actually in front of the Rocky Steps, which was super cool because we were like,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I was like chatting with like a couple people around me, like, are you ready to go on like a little run? Like, trying to like break the ice, because I could tell everyone was like kind of nervous. And then yeah, but I was like hearing also, like they had a bunch of speakers like hearing like, okay, corral A, ready to go. Corral B, ready to go. I'm like, okay, can we just go? Like, can we go?
Yeah, please? can we get this over with? Yep.
Honestly, like props to people like me who are in like the last corral and literally going through like the mental strain of hearing everyone going, and you're going, what, can I go?
Totally. Yeah.
The opposite. We're like, we go first because we're going to take the longest anyway.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. No, that actually makes a whole lot of sense, but I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like, you're hearing all the waves go in front of you and you're like, all right, like you move 4 inches every 20 minutes and you're like, okay, I'm getting a little cold. You're like, let's just go. No. It's brutal, but yeah, we started. So yeah, when your wave took off, walk us through, I guess we like to break it up in a couple of different chunks on the show. So if you want to start with like the first half marathon, because that was the charted territory for you, what was the first half marathon like?
Such good energy. Like, Philly genuinely has like great energy. Like, people literally like lining the streets, like posters and posters, just like lining the streets. And then you go through, I'm not like too familiar with Philly itself, but I think it's called Old City that you run through in the first, I would say like 8 miles. And so, yeah, like I said, like good energy. I didn't see any of my family until like mile 9-ish. But yeah, and then you go all the way up like 34th Street, which is a little bit of an incline. I would say around mile 6, I started getting really nauseous, and I don't know why. I had felt that on like my 19-mile run, like a little bit of nausea, and I like powered through it. But yeah, I was starting to get like a little nauseous, and then I saw my family at mile, what did I just say? 9? Said hi to them, gave them my sweatshirt, and then kept running. And then there's like a little bit of an out and back, or like a little loop between mile like 9 and 12 or something. Mm-hmm. It's like a, go through like a park and around a fountain or something. And then you go over like a bridge at like the 13-mile mark. And yeah, I started powering through that nausea, and it didn't go away.
Oh, I was going to ask if it went away. Okay, so now we're dealing with some race day stuff. How were you pushing through? What was going through your mind? Like any bits of doubt that was creeping in about finishing the marathon? What was going through your head at that point?
Yeah, so I knew I was going to finish. I always kind of like knew that, but I accepted the fact that I like wasn't going to get the time I was kind of aiming for. And then I realized like it's my first one, so I guess I got to run another one, and it'll be easier the second one to get a better time because it's a worse time. I would just say that like throughout that, like the nausea and stuff, I was just trying to see my family because I knew I was going to see them like 3 or 4 times. Just like getting to those milestones, like, okay, I'm going to see them at 9, I'm going to see them at 12, I'm going to see them at 16, and then again at the end. So kind of just those being my blocking points rather than like loops like I was doing in training.
Sure. That makes sense. Did you have them like strategically placed at these miles or did you just know? Okay, cool. I think that's a smart way to do it.
Well, kind of. It was kind of just like convenient too, like the way that you're able to, if you ever run Philly, let me know. Like,
yeah,
I can tell you kind of exactly where it's very convenient. You just walk and then along a bridge and then down the stairs. And it was kind of convenient for them to do that, but it was also spaced out enough where I'm seeing them every, say, 4 miles, which was nice.
That's great. Yeah, that's huge. That's a nice little boost every 4 miles that definitely starts to pay off towards the end of the race for sure. So you're feeling a little nauseous, I guess. Well, at what point do you feel like, if you did you feel like you hit the wall in your marathon? Like, did you ever have a point where you were so in your head that you couldn't get out of it, or like the nausea started to get to you a little bit more, like any points like that?
Yeah, so between mile 16 and then 26, like you go up Kelly Drive and then you turn around at mile 20-ish. And go back down, the wall was at like mile 18 because I was like, I'm not even on my way back yet. And I have to go 2 miles this way and then 5 miles back or 6 miles back. That was the wall for me. I got a little bit more of like a boost at the turnaround because I saw a friend because she like lives in Philly. And I was like, okay, I just have to go back. I just have to go back 5 miles back. But the wall was definitely at like, it's not when you expect. I'll say that.
No. Yeah. You can never plan it. It's like, it's always kind of random. And it's always like that gut feeling of like, oh, man, I got a minute to go here. Where it feels a little bit like claustrophobic almost. What, if anything, were you saying to yourself? Like, did you carry those mantras that you talked about a little earlier in the episode about just keep moving forward step at a time? Or were you saying anything different to yourself to kind of pull yourself out?
I feel like, I was more like angry. In the race, I don't know why I was like, I'm about to like beat this shit up, like I'm ready, like let's go. I was like screaming. People around me probably thought I was like a little crazy, but I was like screaming. I would say that it definitely did carry me through. I would say like my faith definitely carried me through. Ironically, also my boyfriend and sister put together like voice memos.
I love that.
So I played that in the beginning, and then I also played that during the wall. And so it was just like, come on, Kelly, like you got this kind of thing. So it definitely like helped for sure.
I love that. That's great. Cool. So then I guess we're getting into the last home stretch here, last 6 miles or so. When was the first time that you felt like the finish line was in sight? Like not literally in sight where you could see it, but like, oh, I'm here. Like I got this.
I would say 24.
Yeah, so a couple miles before. And what was that feeling like? Like, I'm sure you were tired. I'm sure you were really feeling it. But, like, were you able to soak in the fact that, like, I'm about to run my first marathon? Like, I'm about to do this.
Well, it's so funny because we went from, like, a wall to, like, it's kind of like a switch to, like.
Okay, totally.
Like, yeah, like, I can do this. Like, this is, I can do this. Like, 2 miles. Totally. Like, And it's in a matter of like 10 seconds, which is bizarre. But yeah, I would say like, I was like, yo, like, and then I started feeling really grateful, I would say, is like my biggest emotion that I was feeling throughout that. And just trying to soak it all in, I guess.
Yeah, as much as possible. I know it's hard when you're like dead tired trying to soak in the things going on around you, but that's great that you were able to think like that. And then we see the finish line and we get to the finish line. Talk us through about what the finish line feeling was like.
I don't even know. It was kind of out of body. Like it's mm-hmm. it's a little out of body. It's like, whoa, like it's I'm done. Like I've worked 6 months for this and it's right there. Like, holy crap, you know? Yeah. It's definitely like a surreal moment. And then also to have like my family to my left, all like screaming my name and then being able to like see it at the same time. It's definitely emotional. And also like my family was sobbing. Like my dad was like crying. My sister was hysterical.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Just to like kind of do it with them. It felt like I was crossing the finish line with them.
Cool. Yeah. That's really cool. I love that. Awesome. Okay, cool. Well, at the finish line, usually there's like two parties at the finish line. You either get to soak it all in then and you're like, that was hard, but I loved that experience and I could see myself doing it again. Or you cross and you're like, I'm never doing that again. Don't ever let me sign up for another marathon. That was terrible. Where do you feel like you fell, or maybe somewhere in between?
I have to do another one. Like I just feel like there's a lot of reasons why I feel like I have to do another one. And I kind of said it, but like, one of them is like, I know I could do it better. I know that I can like prevent that nausea. Like I know that, also if every marathon was a good marathon, the good ones wouldn't be good. If every run was a good run, not all the runs, you wouldn't really enjoy totally. It. So I want to have a good marathon.
Totally.
And that means I got to do another one. So
yeah.
I'm ready.
Love it. Let's go. I love it. Well, cool. Well, I guess, yeah, kind of like wrapping it all up to reflect on the entire experience here. What do you feel like you carried across the finish line with you, if that makes sense? So like you had this full circle moment, it sounds like, where, you know, you found running in a time where you needed running and running kind of like carried you through your journey of learning how to run a marathon, you know, like proving to yourself that you can do hard things. So I guess crossing that finish line, what were some of the things that you were carrying with you that you felt like you came out the other side a better person for?
Yeah. I mean, I'm carrying with me a lot of people, and a lot of those people are versions of me, past versions of me that I'm not, say, the most proud of or the most, don't, you know, resonate with the most as much anymore. But the fact that I'm who I am and not that is a reflection of the journey. And so I would say I'm carrying with me all the past versions of myself that didn't think I would be crossing the finish line. So the 2023 version of me, the high school version of me that was the slowest on the team in cross country, and the childhood basketball Kelly, you know, and there's just, and even like the future Kelly who is older and still running marathons, hopefully. I don't know. And then I'm also, of course, doing it for my family. You know, I'm the first person in my immediate family, I think. And even in my, like, relatives, I think I'm, like, one of the first to run a marathon. So I'm doing it for them as well. And,
I love that. That's great. Yeah, we carry so many versions of ourselves, I think, when we run a marathon, and like coming out the other side a different person or a better person for it always feels so full circle. So that's awesome. I love that. And then I guess if we're paying it forward now, I always love to ask for a piece of advice at the end of the episode. So for somebody who's listening to the show and thinking, hey, I might want to sign up for my first marathon, or maybe they've even signed up and have started training, but they're kind of at the beginning of training, like what's some advice that you'd offer somebody in that position?
So someone who thinks that one day they'll run a marathon, not everyone thinks that. And so if that thought crosses your mind, it's there on purpose. It's not, it's intentional. It's, again, not everyone thinks that. So act on it and chase it. And someone who signed up for a marathon and is training and doesn't feel or has doubt creeping in, you've done the hardest part. The hardest part is signing up and trusting yourself. So you've already put that trust in, might as well act on it.
Yeah. Do it. That's like the number one piece of advice that comes up on the show, is just sign up and just work towards it. Just do it. I love that. Well, awesome. Okay, so to wrap us up, I like to ask a couple of fun questions at the end about fuel and shoes. You kind of touched on some of the fuel stuff already, but I always give the disclaimer, like, fuel and shoes are your own journey. Please try everything and anything when it comes to fuel. Find out what works best for your stomach. Same thing with shoes. Go to your local running store, get your feet measured. Shoes are individual as well. But for you, like, what have you liked for fuel over time?
Fuel, I love Nerd Clusters, like I said.
Yeah.
I love Honey Stingers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Honey Stingers, great. Yep.
Love them. Those are my two. I'm not a big like liquid gal. I just go with plain water. Yeah.
And then what about shoes? What have you liked for shoes?
Love Brooks. Yeah. I've done like the experimenting with, like, I got my feet measured, whatever, and they gave me like a different brand and it kept breaking. I would go on like, not even kidding, like 15-mile runs, like one of that, like one. And it would be like holes and stuff. And so I went back to Brooks. I had Brooks and then I didn't. And then went back to them and I love them. They're the best.
Nice. Yeah. Brooks in general, I think, is a great brand. I really like the Brooks that I have as well. Well, cool. And then the last question I have for you is just what's coming up next? You just recently ran Philly, to be fair. So I'm sure you're kind of in like a recovery mode. But yeah, what have you thought about for what's coming up next?
Yeah. So right now I am just kind of running for fun. I guess recovering mentally, taking in the fact that I just ran a marathon. But eventually, I will put the gas on the pedal and run another one. My dream is to run New York one day in my life. And hopefully that is sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that's awesome. So New York would be number one. Have you looked at any other like bucket list ones? Or that's like the one?
As of right now, that is the one. Like, cool. I mean, now that I'm like running, I like see so many like running TikToks and stuff. So I love the idea of Honolulu. Like, that'd be so cool.
That would be really cool. That's funny. I just filmed an episode before you and they said Honolulu as well. So that one's like, a lot of people are looking at that one. That's funny.
Interesting. What have you, if you don't mind me asking, what have you ran?
I ran a couple of local North Carolina ones. I ran the Wilmington Marathon in the City of Oaks, which is just like the Raleigh, North Carolina Marathon. I just did Chicago. That's a great world major if you're looking to run it. I would love to run New York one day, but Chicago was a little easier to get into and the charity fundraising minimum's a little bit lower. So just if you're looking for a world major in general, I think that one's a good like starting one, but New York would also be really incredible. And then I ran the Eugene Marathon in Oregon. That one was really fun. Tracktown USA, really great if you want like a Pacific Northwest run. And then I just recently ran the Richmond Marathon, which is America's friendliest marathon. That was a fantastic experience. So yeah, those are the ones.
Wait, that's amazing. It actually makes me think the Chicago Marathon, when you said Chicago.
Yeah.
Great. Is it true? I don't know if it's a rumor. Do you go through Canada for that one?
Not that one. That's Detroit, which I also would love to do. That's the Detroit Free Press Marathon. And you should totally do that one if you have the ability to do it. I've heard incredible things about that one.
Well, I've actually talked to my boyfriend about that one too. So maybe that is also on my list.
Love that. Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, thank you again for coming on and telling your story. It was awesome. Yeah, getting to know your journey. And I love when people come on and their journeys are so full circle. It's like you, like we said in the beginning, you're either running finds you or you find running in a place where you need it. And it can carry you through so much. And I love the stories where it's able to kind of carry you all the way to the finish line of your first marathon. So again, just thank you for coming on and telling your story. This was awesome.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was so fun.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the My First Marathon Podcast. For more stories, tips, and resources, head to myfirstmarathonpodcast.com. And if you want access to bonus episodes, exclusive resources, and extra support for your training, make sure you check out the community at myfirstmarathonpodcast.com/exclusives. You can also follow along with us on socials, Instagram and TikTok. That's at myfirstmarathonpod. If you want to follow along with my personal journey, that's at tay.says. Whether you're training, recovering, or just thinking about signing up, you belong here. I'm so excited that you're here, and we'll see you on the next one.